Praise God. Let's take our Bibles. We're going to turn to Isaiah 50, verse 10. And I would like to speak about in God's light tonight. In God's light. And before we get started, I'm going to warn you about a few things. I won't have pyrotechnics or anything, but I'm going to ask for some volunteers in the course of this service. And I will ask for some volunteers maybe at the back of the auditorium and one or two on either side, maybe one or two in front. And what I'm going to ask you to do when the time comes is to step out from where you are and move around a little bit for me. Who's willing to do that for me when the time comes? All right, so when I call for a volunteer, remember, you're the one that raised your hand, and I'll give you your instructions at the time. And I don't want anyone to freak out, but I'm going to play with the lights a little bit here tonight. It won't be completely dark, but I'm just giving you fair warning, all right? Praise God. Isaiah 50:10. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, God, for your presence here tonight. We thank you for the fact that we're able to feel your presence, that we're able to draw near to you by the sacrifice that you have made at Calvary. Thank you for your love, O God, that is tangible in this place. Thank you for the word of God that speaks to us. Help us, O God, to hear your voice in the remainder of this service. Help me, your servant, O God, to minister the word of God according to your will and according to the need that's present here. We will give you the glory and the honor in all of this, and we thank you for it, and we give you praise. And everyone said in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The wording of this passage may seem a little uncomfortable, but it's really asking, who is it that fears the Lord and that obeys his word, or obeys those that preach his word, or that prophets is really what it's speaking to? Who fears the Lord and who obeys his word and doesn't have light? The obvious answer to the question is, there is no one who fears the Lord and obeys his word and doesn't have light. Because when we fear the Lord and we obey his servant, then God gives us light by which to live our life. Amen. We live in a world of confusion. We live in a world of difficulty and hardship. It's all around us. The Bible says that a man is born of woman a few days and full of trouble. We have low consumer confidence here in the United States. We have very low confidence in our Congress. We have low confidence in our president, all of this measured by polls. We have high unemployment. We have trouble all around us on either side. Many of us in our own homes are worried about how we're going to pay the bills because of unemployment, because of underemployment. There's record foreclosures all around our land. It seems like a dark time. But the prophet says, who is it among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth his voice and walks in darkness? We may have trouble, but we always have a light in Jesus Christ. He never promised us that we would not have trouble, that we would not have problems, that it would not be difficult, but he does promise to always provide light for our path and a lamp unto our feet by his word. He will never leave us or forsake us. He will always make a way. Now, those sound like religious platitudes when you're the person who's wondering where your next paycheck's going to come from. I know that. I've been there. But he promises to make a way. He said, let him that trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. That means they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. As I said, it's easy for me to stand in front of this auditorium and say what it says, but when you're in the midst of a trial and darkness threatens your life, it's not so easy sometimes to trust in the Lord. But he promises that he will never leave us. He promises that he will make a way. Isaiah 50:11, the next verse. I find this interesting. There seems to be a comparison here. The first verse that we read talks about the light of God and the life of those that obey the word of God. Verse 11 says, "Behold, all ye that kindle a fire." Sounds like a good thing at first, doesn't it? "That compass yourselves about with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire, in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow." If you're walking in the light of your own fire tonight, it may be that you can see some things. It may be that you are able to manage some things in your life. But God says that if you manage your life by the light of your own fire, that there will be darkness. That you will not be able to see. You will lie down in sorrow. There's a lot of people in our world today that have certain gifts and certain abilities. Our world has a sense that God is no longer necessary, that the Word of God is no longer applicable to the modern age, that somehow we've got it figured out in the modern era. But I noticed just recently that there was nothing that prevented the earthquake from hitting Washington, D.C. And even though the hurricane kind of turned away from the East Coast, it had nothing to do with anything that we did that caused that to happen. We really don't have the control over things that we think we do, but the Scripture says that we can start our own fire. We can have our own light if we wish. There are men of great skill and ability and women of great talent and knowledge, and they work in our world today, and many of them have great influence. Some are world leaders, some are leaders in industry. See, we were in darkness for just a little bit. I need one of my volunteers back here. Who's going to be my volunteer in the back? Okay, why don't you stand up? And what I need for you to do is to come back here and just kind of walk back and forth for a little bit. See, now let's just up to the end here and back over here again. Let's, for discussion's sake, imagine that these lights are just lighting up the back area here. We haven't lit up this whole part of the building, just the back. You see, but this is a lady of great education, and she is a CEO of a major company, and she's making millions of dollars and infecting thousands of lives, and she started her own fire. And she's walking in her own light at the back of the auditorium there. Not really walking in the light of God, but she's got some truth. She's got some understanding. There are principles that will work in this life that you don't have to live for God to make them work. If you manage your money properly, you can increase your wealth. You can do certain things as a leader and progress in life using biblical principles, but not really understanding who God is or believing who God is. I need another volunteer over here on this side right here. All right, come on, brother. This is the great athlete. He's just made it into the NFL, and he's going to be on the first team of the... No, it won't be them. It'll be the Green Bay Packers. Walk back and forth here, and he's become famous and well-known, and he's obviously very talented. And, of course, he went to the University of Wisconsin, so he's got an excellent education, and he's a talented man, and people know who he is. He's got a fire going. He's got some things together. Who's my volunteer over here on this side? Come on up. They said it was you, sister. I don't know if you volunteered, but you got volunteered. Just walk back and forth along this side. See, these people, each of them is walking in their own light. They started their own fire. They've got gifts. What's your talent? What's your ability? What do you want to be? You want to be a carpenter, a builder, or whatever? Okay, she's a carpenter. She's building a company bigger than Findorff. And obviously with better... No, never mind. I made a lot of money working for Findorff over the years. So we have these people walking back and forth, and they're walking in their own light. They've started a fire. The Bible says that a man can kindle his own fire. And I need one more volunteer on this side. Who's it going to be? Come on up, brother. You're the talented singer in the bunch. Yeah, there you go. What's the name of that show? Idol. He's made it on Idol. He's big time now. All right. So these people are walking in their own abilities and their own gifts, and they've got some things together. And I need a person up here now. A great academician. He's going to be teaching in the university. He's a man of great skill and talent. He's not only a scientist, but he's an author. He writes plays, and he just has great intellect. You can tell by looking at him, right? His sister's a carpenter, but he's really... Praise God. And I need one more over here. Come on up, brother. And this is the orator. No, the great speaker and teacher and writer, and he's known all around the world. He's sold millions and millions of books. So now they're all walking in their own, they've got a fire going. They've got some things figured out. And sometimes we meet people that seem to have it all figured out, that they have great talent. And it's hard for me as just a guy from Calvary Gospel Church to witness to a university professor or maybe talk to somebody who's running a company or some great and talented person. It's oftentimes we meet highly educated people in this town, and you begin to talk to them about the Bible, and they explain to you that they don't need the Bible because I know that the Bible is no longer applicable, and I can prove to you that science has the answer. And it's very difficult because they're walking, you're going into their firelight. And they've got their, we went up north last week and we had a fire pit in the yard. The place where we rented the cabin, the house, a little more than the cabin, the house, the place we rented was bigger than our house. But one thing I noticed is that outside of that fire where the ring was, you couldn't see much. The fire only goes so far. The scripture says you walk in the light of your fire, your own fire is the implication, and the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. We wanted to do some s'mores. And Sister Jeanette noticed where the stickers were for the marshmallows and told my wife, and I didn't believe her, and we never found them till afterwards. So I had to go into the woods in the dark with my flashlight. And it wasn't more than 15 or 20 feet beyond the fire when it got dark. And I had to go find sticks that we could put the marshmallows on. Because an individual fire, however talented, however gifted, however insightful, whatever your skills, however you have accomplished what you've accomplished, your fire only burns so bright. And those sparks will only fly so far. Your time on this earth is limited. And even your ability to deal with the circumstances of life, no matter what gift or money or power or talent or influence you have, is still limited. Walking in your own fire, however big your fire. Someone started a fire on the property next to us when we were up north. And there were trees between the two properties. And it had to be a big fire because it was crackling mighty loud. But we could just barely see the glow through the brush. They consumed a lot of stuff, I guess. But we couldn't even see them there. And after a little while, it must have burned down because we were there much longer than they were. And then there was nothing. The next morning, after the fire in the fire pit, we came out and there was nothing but ashes. It only lasts for a little while. We can create a lot of sparks in this world. We can do great things. We all have gifts, and some have more than others, and some have more opportunity than others, and some, they make a big fire, and the people are drawn to it from all around, and they draw near, and they have great influence. They learn to use certain principles, but because it's of human origin, because it's of human ability and human talent, it only lasts for a little while. Our human capability is limited. And you may figure out how to be a millionaire. You may figure out how to manage a company. Or you may just be trying to find out where your next job is going to come from. But your abilities are limited. And someday this life will end. Wealth on this earth is finite. And so is our amount of time. And there's no guarantee that you will be happy. No matter what you do, whatever you achieve in this life is limited by time and amount, only as far as the light and the sparks of your fire can last. Let's turn to 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise God. You see, I just turned on these area lights on the outside, and in your mind, just imagine that these lights are only shining on this small area where each one of these people is walking. And that's really what happens in our own lives when we're working out of our own ability and our own limitations. Even if you've got a great network of people, but see, something changes when you give your life to God. The Bible says that God is light. Not just a fire, not just some light, but he is light. That all light, and the Bible says in James that he is the father of lights, that every good gift, James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the father of lights, in whom there is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. Praise God. So God gives us light, not just for a little area, not just for certain abilities, not for certain accomplishments, but God is light. See, when I stand in front of the fire and the light shines on me, I can stand in such a way. Have you ever been in front of a campfire on a cold night? Nice and warm on one side. And you have to turn around and warm up the other side. Do a slow turn, you know. But the same thing as the heat is the light, that the light only shines on one part of us. It's easy for us in the world of man to hide the dark part of our nature. I can come to church and pretend to be a Christian. And I may think that I'm fooling somebody, and maybe I am, but the light of Jesus Christ shines on all of me. Front, back, side, top, bottom, inside, outside. He's the light. There's no variables, no fooling God. Amen. There's no question where these people are now. There's no darkness here. There's no shadows. Very light shadows here, but in the light of God, there is no such thing as shadow. I remember when it was a big deal when the space program was going to go to the dark side of the moon. When they were going to, they even had music about it. Yeah, we talk about people's dark side, but in God, His light shines on everything. You may be here tonight and you may feel as though you're getting away with something or somehow you fooled someone, but in fact, the light of the Word of God is shining here in this place. And the presence of God is here and the Holy Ghost is talking to us and He wants to reveal to us our own sin, our own weakness. I may not see it. The person next to you may not see it, but God has revealed it to you for you to do something about it. We can start our own fire and we can determine what part of us we want the light to shine upon. But when the light of God's Word shines into our heart, shines into our lives, there's nothing, the Bible says, neither is there anything that is hidden from Him with whom we have to do. That the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. Neither is there anything that is hidden from Him. Amen. God is light. Amen. But see, the thing that happens when God's light shines into our life is we're no longer limited by our own abilities and our own capacities. Now, because God's light is shining into your life, brother, you can walk around the whole auditorium. Each one of you that's now was limited before by the amount of light that your own fire was shining, now you have liberty. You have freedom to go where the light of God shows you to go. Amen. So you're free. You don't have to walk back and forth anymore. You can go where the light is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Bible says, there is liberty. Hallelujah. So you see, when I'm working by my own fire, by my own abilities, by my own limitations, then when I come up against the trouble, my ability to deal with the circumstances of life is also limited. But when I get into the Word of God and I let the light of God's Word guide and direct me, I can go wherever God's light shines and He can lead me out of the trouble that I'm in. There's no darkness. There's no shadow of turning. There's no variableness. Hallelujah. I'm sure these people that were walking back and forth, they feel a little better about just being able to walk at least. There's liberty. There's freedom. There's light. Any good thing in your life, the Bible says every good gift, every good thing in your life comes down from God above, who is the Father of lights. Any good thing that ever happened to you in your life happened because of a God that loves you. In Him there is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. These are terms that have to do with the sun and the moon and the stars and the fact. The one word has to do with the word parallax. Comes from the Greek word that we get the English word parallax from. And it is an apparent change in the direction of an object caused by changes in the observational position. The perspective changes. And it looks as if things are moving or changing, and it creates shadows. But you see, in God's light, there is no dark side. There is nothing hidden. So we don't have to worry that tomorrow the thing that God says is good will be bad. And we don't have to worry that tomorrow the thing that God's Word says is bad will be good. Amen. There's no changeableness. Fluorescent lights along the side here. Have you ever heard of someone use the word fluoresce as a verb? It fluoresces. What does that mean? It flickers. It glows and flickers. fluorescent lights are not a steady light. They're a softer light, but they're flickering all the time. And if you have only fluorescent lights and you're reading by fluorescent lights regularly, it actually has an effect on your eyes because your eyes are constantly trying to adjust to the changes in the degree and the intensity of the light. That's why it's suggested by many people that you should have both the soft light of a fluorescent light and the what's called a hard light of an incandescent bulb, because the incandescent light is continuous. But in a spiritual sense, God is the incandescent light. He never changes. He never varies. And unlike the light bulbs in my house, He's never going to go out. Praise God. There's no dark side in God's light. The Bible says that all things work together for the good of them that love God. Praise God. Proverbs 10:22 says that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow to it. That doesn't mean that you never have trouble. It means that when God gives you blessing, He's got good things in store for you. He's not bringing it to you for bad reasons. All things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to His purpose. So when we are walking in the light, there's no guarantee we won't have trouble. But there is a promise from God that we will always have the light as long as we're obedient to His word. And He will lead and guide us into all good things. Praise God. So now these people are walking around in the light of God and they're feeling the liberty that God has given them. And if you notice, a few of them have shaken hands and put their hands up and given each other high fives. And they're maybe getting a little bored right now. But if you would, for just a minute, imagine the light of God. Let's look at the book of Revelation. His light is all around us. It shows us the good and the bad. But if we walk in it, if we walk in the light, if we walk in it, if we continue to walk in it, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We are not confined by our own abilities. We are not confined by our own understanding, but we have the light of God's word to direct us and to help us out of every difficulty. He is the Father of lights, and all light comes from Him. Every good thing comes from Him. We must walk in the light of God's word, however, to enjoy these benefits. We must do what the word of God says. We cannot live by the light of our own fire, by our own abilities, by our own talents, and our own decision-making processes. We must rely on the light of God's word. We must allow the light of God's word to reveal our sin, to reveal our weakness, and to be willing to admit them before God. And then we must go where He leads us. But notice, when we walk with Him in the light, we find others walking in the light. You see, we're all sinners saved by grace. The light of God's word shines on all of us the same. We're not walking in this way because one of us is better than another, or one is a better businessman, or a better organizer, or a better preacher, or a better teacher, or a better mother, or a better father. We're all walking in the light because our own fire is not enough to get us to where we need to be. We're walking in the way because of His greatness, because of His light. Just say that once. Because of His light. Let's just say for a moment that His light is emanating from one place. Revelation 21:10 through 17. John saw it this way. He said, "He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as a crystal." Imagine, if you will, the city, the holy city, coming out of the sky, shining with a great light. And it had a great wall and a great and high and 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 13. Now I have to turn there in my own Bible. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. On the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Are you imagining this? Are you picturing this great and bright and shining city? And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, and the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. It's a great, shining, walled city, almost as big as about a third of the area of the United States of America. And in it, there's a light. Verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein. We won't have a church building. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The presence of God is in the middle of the city. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it for the glory of God. Let's stand. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. See, I want these individuals now to consider that now that light that they're walking in is here in the holy city, is at the front of this auditorium. There's a light emanating. And what will you do when you see the light? Will you continue to walk in this world? Will you continue to walk in this life? I believe that when I see that holy city, my first instinct will be to go to the center of that place, because the Bible says that that's where I will find the Lamb. That's where the light will emanate from. And I'm going through the gates. I'm going past those golden streets. I'm going right to the center, to where the light is. Hallelujah. If we continue to walk in the light, you see, it leads us right to the place where Jesus is. And not only in eternity, but in this life as well. If there's a struggle in your life, if you have difficulty, if you're afraid, if you're alone, if you feel like you're in the dark, there's a light that God has for your life. Hallelujah. These individuals walked around this place. And because of the setting, there wasn't a way for me to present it the way I wanted to. But I want you to imagine for a moment that the presence of God is in this place. Because it is. And that the light of that presence is emanating from the center of this auditorium, as it does from the center of the holy city. I know that the presence of God is all over this place. But sometimes the light, God's light, requires us to take a few steps. That we need to do the walking in the light. And maybe tonight God is calling you to trust in Him. And that you've tried everything you know to do to deal with the circumstances of life. That perhaps even you've tried every religious opportunity that's come your way. Try different churches. Maybe you've tried to figure out how to make ends meet, and you don't know where your next paycheck is coming from. That's a dark feeling. But if you will come to Jesus, if you will walk in the light, if you will surrender your life to Him again, afresh and anew, He promises that He will give you light, that His lamp will be a light unto your feet and a lamp unto your path, that He will show you a way out. Praise God. Don't try to live this life by the light of your own fire. Don't try to save your own soul by being good. Don't try to figure out the difficulties of life on your own. But let God lead you and guide you into a place where you can walk with Him. The Bible says that He is in the light. And if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with Him. Praise God. The Word of God is here tonight. And Jesus promises that He will meet our needs if we will surrender our lives to Him. Praise God. Sometimes as Christians, we feel as though we've done done everything we know to do. Sometimes we forget our first love and we haven't really surrendered our heart to God all over again. Let God lead you to where you need to be. Let God lead you in this life. There's an answer for your situation. There's an answer for your problem. There's an answer for your need tonight. And it's in the presence of God. It's in the Word of God. And it's in His way. Won't you come and pray? Come and let God meet your need. Come and let God talk to your heart. I don't have the answer. I don't know if anyone here does, but I do know that God promises that He will show you the way out. He will give your heart.